Welcome to the Red, White, and Rude, where politics is downstream of culture, and I, a conservative Latino, is here to break it down for you. First up, the left sanctimonious circus gets a reality check by me. Wanda Sykes lectures white liberals to protest Trump's embarrassing administration, conveniently ignoring her own leftist, elitist Hollywood bubble. I guess she's too busy with her Hollywood dance moves, you go girl, to notice real America's fed up with her and her fellow ivory tower bigotry. Speaking of bigotry, to quote the great Dave Chappelle, Juicy Shmule A, a.k.a. Jussie Smollett, slinks away with a Chicago settlement after his hate crime hoax, proving accountability's just a suggestion for the privileged. Then there's Jeremy Renner telling Disney to shove their insulting pay cut, ignoring the fact Hawkeye Season 1 ratings weren't all that. Then again, that's leftist elitism. It's all about them and their feelings of respect and big paychecks. He's not Marvel's only problem. The mainstream media isn't being truthful with the Thunderbolts Week 1 opening numbers because based on the cost to make, it's not looking good, despite pretty good reviews. And all this shows Marvel's woke gambles have created a perception of their movies, turning even promising ones into flops. And then there's Polygon's woke gaming journalism, Gaming 2.0. Polygon's been sold off and gutted. A glorious cash and burn for agenda-driven drivel. Across the pond, that's a long swim, but that's where we're headed. A British minister prime admits J.K. Rowling's right about biology. Men are born men and women are born women, but whines about her hateful tone because facts hurt feelings, apparently. Can it get any worse for Prince Harry? Despite court loss after court loss, he cries the victim. Why? Well, over security while the UK yawns with polling stating, "We don't like you, Harry, and we no longer care." Grab your popcorn for the Red, White, and Rude cultural beatdown, the last meltdown brought to you conservative style. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. I am William Del Pilar. Give me one second here as I need to fix our audio. Oh, yes. Here we go. Woo. There we go. Okay. Sorry, people. So you heard what our show is going to be. Before I forget, though, let's get down to it. Make sure you bookmark grumblingsmedia.com, grumblingsmedia.com. And you're probably following us on one of our other platforms, but you can find us at YouTube, Rumble, Apple, Spotify, and Pandora under the handle Grumblings Media. So let's get right down to this, my friends. Wanda Sykes criticizes the Trump administration and urges white liberals to protest. So, comedian and actress Wanda Sykes, she appeared on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert, where she expressed strong criticism of President Donald Trump's administration. And obviously, we're focusing on his first 100 days during his second term. And for the record, 100 days is nothing but a media-created benchmark, and make it worse, past presidents have focused some of their policy so they look good after 100 days. Trump is having none of that. He's got his plan, his strategy, his tactics. He's pushing to make America great again and usher in a golden age. So we are more in the third inning of a long game that could actually be a blowout once some of these countries sign off on these tariff type deals. But regardless, Sykes' comments targeted white liberals. She's urging them to take action against what she described as an embarrassing and corrupt administration. Never mind that Trump in his first time around did more for the black community than Obama or Biden ever did. Look at the historically black universities. Look at the community projects. Look at the reform, the prison reform. He did more. It's data, people. I used to be like you, my friends, a liberal. I came to the conservative side, or the dark side, as leftists like to say, because I started looking at the data. Final note before we go back to Wanda. during his first term, the working class, their wages, their wealth was growing exponentially faster than the white collar slash elite class. They don't talk about that in the media, do they? You know? So what prompted this Wanda Sykes being her typical disgusting self? Well, Cobra asked Sykes about the signal debacle under Defense Department Secretary Pete Hegseth. I admit, that was a debacle, but it was a successful mission. And guess what? There weren't 13 Americans killed. Where were you, Wanda? Nowhere to be found, because you really don't care. You don't care. You don't have the capacity to critically think. And that's what's terrible with America. Everybody in America over the last 30 years. Now, Wanda's my era. She's just dumb. Make you laugh. She's dumb as a rock. She specifically told white people, y'all should be embarrassed by this. You really should be. Y'all really need to do something seriously, unquote. Let me tell you something, Wanda. As a Latina who has black and white and their traditional beautiful caramel texture, I got the Spaniard gene. But I have something to say about that. Maybe it's time you should sit there and look at the data. Maybe it's time you should sit there and stop listening to your overseer masters telling you what to do, and you educate yourself and look at the data. You know why? Because that's how I was. I was like you, Wanda. But I started to read research. I'm like, things that make you go, hmm. And she's excusing black individuals from her call to action, stating they are busy and doing dances. I don't know if she was kidding there. I assume she was. I've got a lot of black friends. They no longer talk to me. I've got some black friends who go, William, I get it, but you're going down the wrong road here because everybody's going to hate you. You're going to lose friends. You're going to lose this. You're going to lose that, yada, yada, yada. And he was right. I've been blackballed from the fantasy sports industry indirectly. I can't get people to return calls or emails. There's a handful, but I even tried to go to somebody to pay him to work for us. No go. She praised existing protests against Trump, but urged white liberals to amp it up. Why does a white person have to do this? Why don't you do it, Wanda? In a professional, dignified manner, not this BLM, racist, friendly protest that created $2 billion of damage, rapes, murders, you name it. No, not rapes. I'm thinking of Occupy Wall Street. It was just murders with BLM. She goes, quote, I see you out there protesting, so keep up the good work, but now you got to amp it up, unquote. So she's calling for violence indirectly is what she's doing. And why am I talking about her? We have to call her out. Call her out for her bigotry. In fact, her own racism here by singling out white people. We can't be afraid to do that anymore until we start to fight back. This country will get destroyed by Democrats who are using minorities to further enrich themselves and consolidate their power. That's why I got into this battle. I've seen this happen in Panama over and over with two dictators. Wanda Sykes is using her platform to rally white liberals to intensify their opposition to Trump's administration. She doesn't care how violent it gets. That's my take on it. Could I be wrong? Maybe, but I don't think so. Her remarks highlight a typical rich point of view where they're not near the crime. They live above it. That is, they don't have to live check to check or deal with the bad parts of town. In essence, this shows her ignorance, her deep-rooted bigotry, if not all-out racism, and this is what we're battling. And let me just be honest. Wanda Sykes can be funny. You get her in the right role, you're cracking up. But she's ugly as a human being. All right, British Minister Prime acknowledges J.K. Rowling's biological accuracy, but criticizes her tone. I guess men beating on women in rape centers, in prisons, raping them, easily defeating them, taking over sports. That's okay to this British Minister Prime. Y'all have got to see this. Let me show you this.
She believes it's absolutely factual that if you're born a man, you can't ever be a woman.
Okay, he's talking about J.K. Rowling's right there, and that's what she says, and I agree with her. And for the record, people, J.K.'s a bleeding heart leftist swine herself. But we agree on this point. We can be allies on this. But the reason I'm saying this is they've gone so extreme, they're trying to destroy one of their own here.
That's the she says it's a matter of fact.
Well, biologically, she's correct.
Yeah.
But there are human beings here that feel that they are a woman. And I'm not saying that they're right or they're wrong. What I'm saying is, when you introduce this level of hate into it.
When you introduce this level of hate, J.K. Rowling has been firm and strong. She's only gone after people who have gone after her, people who have called for her to be murdered, raped, destroyed, canceled. She goes after them fiercely like a warrior should. God bless that woman for that. This idiot here calls that hate because somebody's pushing back.
A debate. Rationality goes out of the window and it becomes just an adversarial argument. There is no right or wrong in this, and I don't think she's in any way contributed in a productive way to us getting to a point where we can have a responsible conversation around this.
She believes.
Okay, let's be honest here. She does not want a responsible conversation. She wants to tell you what she believes, and if you disagree, you're transphobic. That's been how they have messaged this whole time. I don't care about your feelings. I care about the truth. I want to discuss this with a dignified manner, but you guys crossed the line. So now you expect J.K. Rowling to toe your line? No. And that's what has you angry. You're losing this battle. I mean, look at that idiot. Dress us in decorum. Be a professional. William, you're so, you have transphobia. No, I do not. But thank you for proving my point, people. All right. Let's see. Okay. Sorry, my producer was chiming in. So, that lady, her name is British. She's a British Labour Minister Prime. For you Americans, Minister Prime is below. It's not Prime Minister. That is the top dog. Minister Prime, there are the underlings. Her name is Carolyn Harris. As I said, she acknowledges J.K. Rowling is correct. And the host, I don't know if the host pushed back or not. I was just a snippet here. Social media did. And there are times when the sheer stupidity of those living in a bubble is exposed to the world, and that was it. Well, J.K. Rowling is right, but she's being hateful. You know, and then they sit there, well, there's a lot of tension here. No, there's no tension. Most want to show as much as common sense is coming back. Now, what I'm trying to say is, I'm sorry, I came out wrong. What I'm trying to say is, most of us see common sense coming back. And those pushing actual hate coming from the left, there's the problem, because they're the ones pushing hate. They're the ones who shut down any discussion of this topic. And again, call everyone bigots, and we suffer from transphobia. I mean, at the end of the day, how much of this can we put up? How many children must be sacrificed to this? A child does not have the brain, the formed brain to sit there and make a decision. But people like this Minister Prime would have that child whack their penis off, cut their breasts off, all that. Well, they know what they want. I know. I always repeat this story of a parent. Parents, their boy wanted to be a girl. Instead of freaking out, saying, okay, let's snip it off there, son. They sat him down. They found out he wanted to be a girl because he thought his sister was gaining more attention. That was it. That's it. Social media is truly reacting when the backlash against this Minister Prime you would not have seen 5 years ago. It really is that simple. A user on X, there is no debate. Biology is now called hate. She's right. She's right. Another user, there is nothing hateful, there is nothing at all hateful about stating facts. People seem to have forgotten that, stating actual facts. You are fat, you cannot be a woman. If you are a man, is necessary. I wouldn't call somebody fat, but she's talking about fat shaming. You know, we're supposed to honor somebody who's obese. Oh yeah, I love the fact you're going to have a heart attack in 5 years. Your arteries are slowly getting so thick, you're not going to be able to have any blood flow. You know, because that's what it's come down to. So the acknowledgement of Rowling's biological accuracy by a British Minister Prime paired with criticism of her approach That's underscoring the ground that of those pushing hate, bigotry, and doing everything to silence one side that those pushing the destruction of children to transition have lost. Translation, they're losing the war. We're now seeing them. Now the world is seeing you guys are the ones with the hate. You guys are the ones with the bigotry. You guys are the one lying and just throw. They're throwing the word transphobic around like leftists used to throw the term racist when you just wanted to have a discussion about race in America. I'm still willing to have that discussion with anybody. Why? I got more data on this than you can shake a stick at. Eventually, common sense comes through as social media reactions highlight the strong support for Rowling's factual stance amongst most of her followers, with only a handful of haters. And that's speaking volumes today. Oh, boy. Let's come back across the pond to America. Jussie Smollett settles with Chicago after hate crime hoax conviction is overturned. So this would have gone to court, and despite the overthrow of the conviction, they would have used that against Jussie Smollett with the turning of the tide. There's a better than average chance he would have lost this lawsuit and had to pay $130,000. So he reached a settlement with the city of Chicago this past week, 6 years after obviously orchestrating a hate crime hoax, a race hoax, where he accused two white MAGA when it was two hired black Nigerians that beat him up. And guess what? He hired him so he could sit there and get more money on his next empire contract. So to black America, he used you to enrich himself. Again, it's what Democrats do at the expense of the working class minority, because they wanted us Latinos to jump on that bandwagon. So this settlement, so he settled. They were suing him for $130,000. The city was for the cost of this investigation, et cetera, et cetera. So the settlement follows the Illinois Supreme Court's decision to overturn his conviction. So there's a chance he may have not have paid anything. I don't think so. But then again, it is a Democrat mayor, highly leftist. So I guess I could be wrong, and I'm probably likely wrong. They probably dropped the case. The point is, it's over. But my point here is, Yay Smollett is a bad dude, a selfish dude, uses blacks and minorities and leftists to enrich himself. And to show you how corrupt the courts are, the Illinois Supreme Court overturned his conviction and dropped all charges. Corrupt. They're all pigs in that court. But then again, look at the Governor Pritzker. I mean, today was May 4th, you know, may the 4th be with you. You know, I think he was probably dressed as Jabba the Hutt. He wasn't. He dressed as four Obi-Wan Kenobis in one, but he should have just gone as Jabba the Hutt. I haven't seen a more disgusting fat slob in politics since Chris Christie. And I'm sorry. William, they can't help it. Yeah, they can. They just can't push you back away from the buffet line, gentlemen. Back away from the buffet line. Oh, man. Somebody on X posted, disgraced actor and huge POS, Jussie Smollett, settles with Chicago after racist hate crime hoax. This idiot, F-A-F-O, didn't he? Now he is a nothing burger. No, he's true. I wouldn't hire him. Somebody's going to eventually hire him. I wouldn't. But regardless, the settlement between Smollett and Chicago, it closes probably the final chapter on his race crime hoax that he used to get more money. This was sparked more issues than the race issue. Why? Because it didn't fit the media narrative, so they wanted it dropped once it was exposed. But it brought up the accountability issue and the media narratives. So public sentiment on X obviously reflects the frustration with him literally having gotten away with most of this. Even he spent some time in prison, not long enough. So let's go back across the pond. I got to check something here. Let's go back across the pond. The Times, not the New York Times, but the Times out of the UK. Royal Nikah undercuts Prince Harry's security and reconciliation claims. Boy, that Harry, he's a piece of work. You know, Harry is a duck with a C. Man, that Meghan boy, you know, there was an old Sam Kennison skit. So politically incorrect. He died too young. Or he's like, honey, the fellas and I are going out. Oh, really? Can I go? No, Shadow. Sure you can. Okay. Can I have my balls? Can I have them to go out tonight with the fellas, honey? Can I have them? That's Harry, formerly Prince Harry. I don't know. He probably still has his title. She wants to be known as the Duchess of Sussex. They want to be seen. I don't know about him. You know, he's a duck with a C. But she wants to be seen as the next Grace of Monaco, Princess Grace, Princess Diana. She wants to be seen like that, but she's her own worst enemy. And with the turning of the tide, and we're recognizing the bigotry, the racism, the race hoaxes out there, her star, it never really glowed. It just diminished. It's cold now. She doesn't see it. She doesn't realize it. I mean, nobody's watching her Netflix series. They've canceled a couple. I mean, once, give it another year or two, we'll never hear from them again. So in an article that was published this past week, Roya Nikah, royal editor for the Sunday Times, she reported on Prince Harry's emotional BBC interview where he blames the security dispute for his estrangement from the royal family. You think? I don't think so. I think maybe the book, maybe the moment y'all talk in private, y'all run to the press, spill it, y'all call them racist, you call them idiots, you say they hate her because it's everything in the book. Oh, Harry, freaking security issue, you dumb. Harry is a redhead. He's literally he's now literally the redheaded stepchild. So Harry's whining. That's okay, Harry. That's okay. So Nika, she subtly challenges the narrative by emphasizing the Court of Appeals ruling, Buckingham Palace's response, and what's so devastating, the YouGov poll. Again, this is a great article from the Times over at the UK. I guess I don't know if it's Royal Times or the Times, but look up Nika, N-I-K-K-H-A-H. N-I-K-K-H-A-H. So, she presents Harry's claims of an established, quote, establishment stitch-up, unquote. I don't know what stitch-up means. It must mean I got out of it, meaning they're all against him. And so he claims an establishment stitch-up and his plea for reconciliation while countering them with legal, institutional, public perspectives that question their validity. Translation, he's saying this, everybody else, the data, the courts, the institutions are saying something else. He's literally on an island by himself with Meghan that they've brought onto themselves. So he gave this exclusive BBC interview. It was conducted by a reporter named Nada Tawfiq. It was near his Santa Barbara home, hours after losing the Court of Appeals case. He had to go, again, lost, so he had to go run to the media to give his side to try to frame the narrative. That's what leftists do. They try to frame the narrative. All right, so Nika describes the interview as an emotional avalanche. Harry is wounded and upset, suggesting his arguments are driven by emotion rather than evidence. You think? I don't suggest it. I say they're driven by bigotry, by hate, and by emotion, feelings, nothing but feelings. That's all leftists do, is shove feelings as facts. And if you don't believe that their feelings are more important than the facts, then you have no compassion. These are great Alinsky tactics. They don't work on me because I studied the playbook. I used to practice the playbook. Sadly, I still practice it, but with righteous truth. Boy, that's double whammy. Using Alinsky tactics, but with the righteous truth, I leave people flabbergasted at times. And I love it. And that's why I'm doing this podcast, so you can gain information to do the same yourselves. So Harry claims the 2020 decision by the Home Office and the Executive Committee for Protection of Royalty and Public Figures, Robeck, To downgrade his taxpayer-funded security was a, quote, good old-fashioned establishment stitch-up, unquote. And he says it was influenced by the royal household to control him. No, Harry, that ship sailed long ago when you met Meghan. Again, Harry is a duck with a C. So the Court of Appeals ruling, supported by various bigwigs that were part of that ruling, the reason I say that, Lord Justice, Sir Jeffrey Moss, Master of the Rolls. It's like, oh my God. You know, they're handing out titles in Britain for so long. It took so much time. They were losing wars and losing their empire. But anyway, all of these bigwigs who were involved in this ruling said that the decision was, quote, sensible, unquote, given Harry's relocation to California and his withdrawal from royal duties, dismissing his, quote, sense of grievance, unquote, as lacking legal merit. So the reason I want to talk about this, one, I don't like the royals. This is the true face of the royals. The royals are leeches. They're leeches of the British constituents to pretty much feed their social life. But they're royalty, and the Brits love them. And I mean, that's the mentality that cost them to lose their empire. You know, just sheer stupidity. And yes, I do mean that. I have no love for the royal family. And this is rich. It's rich because they think having leftist views, being a Democrat value mentality, is going to win them the battle. And it's backfiring. So Harry's criticism of the case-by-case security arrangement where he receives protection only when invited by the royal family, and he asserts that it's inadequate and a lever to keep him, quote, under the roof, unquote, of the royal family. And that's just not true. This is standard protocol for non-working royals, similar to other VIPs. He has no proof, no validation, no actual facts to support what he's saying. He just, I don't want to pay the millions of pounds it's going to, I'm sorry, the millions of euros it's going to cost me. Oh, I'm sorry, the millions of dollars, I'm an American now, it's going to cost me. That's what it boils down to. He doesn't want to foot the bill. He wants you, British citizens, to foot the bill. So what's he do? He's calling for another duck with a C. Prime Minister Keir Starmer and Home Secretary Yvette Cooper to review the processes. But he gives no evidence to support his allegations. Think about it. He wants y'all to foot his security bill because he doesn't want to pay it. Never mind he got like $100 million or $150 million from Netflix to do shows that aren't worth what Netflix paid. And dear God, Pearl, that show was canceled before it started. I'm speculating here. I suspect Pearl was canceled because she took it and plagiarized it from a book that was sent to her. I mean, these people have no creativity. Anyway, Harry states that King Charles, diagnosed with cancer in 2024, quote, won't speak to me because of this security stuff, unquote. So he's expressing concern about his father's lifespan. Doesn't have long. Quote, I don't know how much longer my father has, unquote. So he claims that he asked Daddy, please, please don't say anything. Please don't say anything. Don't intervene. His dad doesn't have to intervene. This is about the British pound. This is about money, finances. UK's in debt. Just like most other Western nations. Buckingham's statement also released something, a statement via The Sun. I think it's called the UK Sun. Quote, all of these issues have been examined repeatedly and meticulously by the courts with the same conclusion reached on each occasion. You can't change facts, Harry. So this suggests Charles' silence aligns with institutional consensus and that intervention would be inappropriate. He's asking his father to step aside, but then he's also asking his father to give him the protection. Now, Harry put out a book, a 2023 memoir. See, Meghan and Harry are popular when they're dishing dirt on the royals. I mean, that's the way of our world. Gossip goes much farther than truth. So he wrote a gossip book, a tell-all called Spare. And he says it caused lasting tension. And some family members never forgiven them. You think? I would be one of those family members. So he's implying that his actions have had consequences that hinder his expressed desire for reconciliation and security. Quote, I would love a reconciliation with my family, unquote. And the security dispute is, quote, the sticking point, unquote. The problem, okay, before we do that, Harry's reference to the First Nations, quote, truth and reconciliation, untruth, and which is a motto from his Invictus Games and how they work. And he's saying, quote, reconciliation can't come without truth, unquote. You know, see, that's what you call projecting. He's putting that on the royal family, yet he's the one who can't look in the mirror at the ugly truth that him and Meghan just lied out their tush. I mean, it's a, oops, did that lie squeeze out? That's Harry and Meghan. He then remarks, quote, if they, the royal family, don't want that reconciliation, that's entirely up to them. And he suggests reconciliation is unlikely because of the legal and public criticism the writer does. And I agree with the writer in this case. I think they don't like Meghan so much because she's burned them. And they look at Harry with no respect as someone with no spine. They're like, stand up to her, and he won't. He just follows her cue. I think they don't care about reconciliation because they know they can get it with Harry, but she'll always be the thorn in their side. I'll never forget with Bob Iger. There was some museum or some event, and it was embarrassing. I felt bad for him. And that's why Meghan's such a perfect person to cast in your next movie. Yeah. I mean, it was embarrassing. The problem overall is that, especially Meghan, but he does it with her blessing and her pushing him. And on his own, too, because he's a wounded duck with a C. You know, the problem is him and Meghan's public airing of private family matters. That's always in a stand away to seek sympathy from the public at large is seen by the royal family as you don't do that. We're talking in private and you're running over to the press? Come on. He says a lack of security makes it impossible to bring Meghan, Archie, and Lilibet to the UK safely. He quote, I miss parts of the UK, of course I do. And I think that it's really quite sad that I won't be able to show, you know, my children, unquote. Sure you can, Harry. Pay it out of your own pocket if you feel that strongly, but you won't. You won't because you're a cheap mother bleeper. But here's a kicker that Nika uses. There's a U in her article. She uses a YouGov poll, which I agree with. A YouGov poll that was published just after the Court of Appeals ruling, so it was published this past week. Surveyed over 6,000 adults, and they found that public sympathy has moved away from Harry's narrative toward the monarchy. Again, Harry, we don't like you, and we don't care. The poll asked whether the royal family treated Harry fairly or unfairly. 46% said fairly, 23% said unfairly, and 31% were unsure. But the point here is only 23% are on Harry's side. 77% get the hell out of here, Harry. So the support is behind the monarchy, not that red-headed stepchild now. So, alas, Harry, the UK does not miss you. So then Harry comes, I never left the royal family. I left the institution because he had to. Sure you did, Cupcake. Sure you did. Meghan drove you, and you guys are living large because you dished dirt. You collected all this front-end money. There's not going to be any back-end money unless y'all start businesses unto yourselves that are successful, and Netflix isn't going to be around. After this contract goes away, so will you all. Harry's narrative of victimhood is so overstated. Legal, royal, and public support consistently aligns against his claim. He's always undercut the family by presenting a slanted viewpoint, but this YouGov poll, well, combine that with the Court of Appeals ruling, Buckingham Palace's response, he's done. His grievance lacks legal, institutional, and public support. And this multifaceted critique highlights a divide between Harry's narrative and the broader reality. So why do I bring this up? America seems to be fascinated with the Brits. And he's living here. We're stuck with her. When all the fires were happening, there she was doing a photo op.
Oh, you poor little thing. Oh, did the fire burn down your house? Can I stay at your house?
Hell no. All right, let's move on to Disney, who I mentioned earlier when Harry was slumming to try to get Meghan Markle at Disney Park. Clash of Arrows. Jeremy Renner's pay dispute halts Hawkeye's return. Okay, so Jeremy Renner's refusal to return for Hawkeye Season 2 stems from a 2025 salary dispute with Disney. They offered him half his pay from Season 1, which he deemed as an insult. His stance has halted the series, leaving fans obviously wondering what's up with the show and questioning Marvel's valuation of its veteran star. Those are the fans he likes. The rest of us were like, bro, look at the data. So, Renner played Clint Barton, Hawkeye, Clint Barton slash Hawkeye since 2011 when he did it in Thor, did it in 4 Avengers movies. He was on the High Performance podcast. You know, it was recently, it was behind the paywall, but I guess this came out. Again, the High Performance podcast, got to give due where it's due, that Disney offered him half his Season 1 salary for a potential Season 2, requiring twice the work over 8 months. He's lying on the twice the work. He has no clue. These scripts aren't even written out yet. So that's just him trying, again, playing the victim, you know. And then he sat there, had to throw in the snowplow accident, you know, where he almost died, you know. God bless he didn't die, but I'm the victim. You know, they're trying to attack me after I had this snowplow to viciously attack me. 38 broken bones, collapsed lung, and blunt chest trauma, and nearly killed him. Look, I'm not knocking him for the attack. I'm like, just what's that got to do with the contract? Why bring it up? We know why. So he felt that the offer implied and sarcastically stated, did they think he was, quote, only half the Jeremy, quote, post-accident. See, that's what I mean. You're throwing that jab in there. So, quote, why? Did you think I'm only half the Jeremy because I got ran over? Unquote. No. But you did bring in half the ratings of some of the other Disney successor shows. And then he does what a lot of actors do. They don't want to burn the bridge, so they don't blame Marvel here. He blames the accountants. Look, the accountants are doing what Marvel's telling them. Hey, give us the cost analysis here so we can make a decision. Okay, they're not making a decision. It's Marvel that's making the decision, you know? And that no longer works. He told Disney to go fly a kite. And his defense, he says he wasn't asking for a raise, and that's a fair point to make. But Disney and Marvel, they haven't commented on this, and we're here to talk about it. But, you know, and honestly, he says he loves the Hawkeye, right? No, he does not. He loves the money it brings him. He loves how it opened doors to other gigs. I mean, he's a failed Jason Bourne. That was his big hit, his big moment, and he failed at it. The movie underperformed. He's not leading man quality. You know, Hawkeye is a second-tier character as well. And he's saying his body's probably thanking him. And no, it's not, because that's what they have. Stunt doubles. Please. Grueling work. So there's somebody called My Time to Shine Hello on X. And I guess it's pretty much more missed than hit. This insider, big following, but said that claims that they may proceed with Haley Steinfeld as Kate Bishop. I guess that was his sidekick, female sidekick, leading without Renner. Though this remains unverified. I think what will happen is they can completely redo the storyline, just bring in a new Hawkeye. And with the Marvel Universe of the various dimensions, it wouldn't be hard. Just bring in a different one. Or they just go completely new as the Marvel Universe keeps moving forward. They're going to do a reboot. And that'll happen. I liked him when I saw him. I haven't watched the last 5 or 6, 8, 10 Marvel movies. They're all terrible in terms of the reviews. And I'm just not going to support somebody who wants to indoctrinate kids with woke ideology. I mean, remember the Marvels assemble for Kamala Harris?
Woo!
Turns out Donald Trump was a bigger and more vicious enemy than Thanos ever could be. Anyway, that's just a rumor floating out there. So, Renner's rejection of Disney's lowball offer is fueled by feeling slighted. His ego got bruised. And that's obviously derailed Hawkeye's future. This obviously underscores tensions over what elitists see as fair pay, completely ignoring it's a new industry out there and how it's shaping up. So why the lowball offer? Let's talk about that. Hawkeye Season 1 of 2021, it was a Disney mediocre hit. It drew strong viewership early on and praise, but it fell short of the top series. And that's why they probably said have to pay. Bro, you just ain't bringing the numbers in, man. The pay cut wasn't personal, but it's tied to the show's moderate success. So Season 1 aired November of 2021, a long time ago. We're talking 4 years ago. And that's the other thing. People lose interest. And he's older, more wrinkled. And I had a whole cast, so he's screwing the whole cast over for his own selfishness. Obviously, Hawkeye is adapted from the comics. It had a 2-episode debut. It drew 570 million U.S. streaming minutes. Y'all thought I was going to say 570 million people, huh? So that breaks down to about a million hours, a million and 80,000 hours, 83,000 hours. So, you know, that was a nice little chunk. You know, and it ranked number 3 overall behind Netflix's Red Notice and Cowboy Bebop. But here's the problem. Red Notice, 916 million. Cowboy Bebop, 642 million. And it was a mediocre, second tier character, just like Disney Plus's Shang-Chi. But it did trail WandaVision, 740 million minutes. Man, that's over 200 million minutes. The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, 680 million. And Loki, 730 million. So you see what we're looking at here? We're looking at not mediocrity, but lower tier. They don't need Hawkeye. It probably costs more than what they feel it's worth. So they probably look at, well, we can do it for this much and still make a profit. So viewership peaked at 938 million minutes for the finale. So it did do well, solid, but not enough to match Loki. And that was the only 2021 Marvel series renewed by 2025. Disney's running into a problem into these weekly series costing 10, 15, 20 million per episode to make. And they're probably hemorrhaging money, and because that's just hard to explain with the minutes and subscriber base. They need subscribers. And these Marvel shows probably aren't bringing in new subscribers. They're maintaining their base, but they're not bringing in new subscribers. And they need these shows to bring in new subscribers. Paramount Plus is having the same problem with Taylor Sheridan and Yellowstone and The Lioness and those. They're doing phenomenal for the subscribers they have, but they're no longer Yellowstone because it was such a long wait. Was no longer a pop culture phenom. It was no longer, hey man, did you see Yellowstone? That all came and went. So the millions that are Paramount Plus subscribers saw it, but nobody cared about it. It wasn't a talk worthy show anymore. And that's important. It's pretty much a line in the sand in differentiating greatness and being able to help not only build the show, but build the platform. And for the cost of making these shows, Disney probably felt that no, Renner, you're just not worth it. Whereas Paramount Plus, they're trying to sell the Skydance. You know, they're hurting so badly. I mean, that's what it boils down to. What can I say? So Disney's 2023 cultural shift. Their shift to a traditional television model from Disney Plus, cutting movie size budgets, is what came out as part of my research, and that's what likely drove the salary offers. as most of the 2021 series WandaVision, The Falcon, and Winter Soldier remain one-offs. So let's close it out. Hawkeye's role in Marvel's disaster, or I'm sorry, Marvel's Disney Plus slate was notable, but it was modest. And Disney's budget pivot probably explains the pay dispute. So obviously, Renner's exit raises questions about the Marvel Comics universe future, or Marvel Cinematic Universe's future, and Disney's handling the veteran actors like him. He's starting to age out. Marvel was a phase 5 or 6 they're in right now. It's been a colossal flop. I think it's ending with Thunderbolts here, and then the Fantastic Four picks up the next phase. You know, but Marvel's eye gonna eye younger heroes. And the dispute highlights the tensions over valuing longtime stars. Hey, you're living the life of fame, so you're earning more money that puts you in the top 1%. And you're greedy at this point. Disney's running the business. It's not that I'm siding with Disney, but it's like the greed of these actors, it's beyond measure now. Renner's post-accident career, including Mayor of Kingstown and his memoir, is prioritizing recovery and time with his 12-year-old daughter. He's open to Hawkeye, but he wants to be paid above and beyond what he's worth and what that series is worth. And that's where we stand. Again, Marvel's going to shift to younger heroes. Now, some fans are saying Disney needs to apologize. They're not going to apologize, and they don't need to apologize. And they're paying him a wage that's likely conforms to what the minutes bring. Disney will not rethink the negotiations with him. The show and the character is not a main player in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Disney's going through cost cutting. It's going to impact future projects, and there's probably going to be a lot more pissed off actors, especially as these movies continually fail and these budgets of $250 million and plus above just aren't making the return. We're going to talk about Thunderbolts, but it got great reviews, had a decent opening, not great, not phenomenal. But because it costs so much to make, it's probably not going to make its money back. So, Renner's pay dispute exposes the Marvel Cinematic Universe's challenge of diminishing returns and how they treat these actors who demand top-tier pay when the products they're producing, movies and series, aren't generating top-tier numbers. I look for Renner to not be part of the Marvel Universe much longer. And who knows, we could get a different Hawkeye in the future. So let's move on and stick with Marvel. So despite the mainstream media's take and strong reviews, Thunderbolts struggles at the box office. So Park Place, I love Park Place, good site. They reported on the opening weekend box office performance of Marvel's Thunderbolts, and they projected a haul of about $70 to $75 million, which aligns with what other studio or other news operations are stating, or newsrooms are stating. It's underperformed when you compare it to Captain America: Brave New World, which was seen as a failure too. Again, it made money, it just did not make enough money to recoup. It was too expensive. It's like a series that you can make for $50 million and it's made for $150 million, and then you wonder why it didn't make money, even though it made $100 million. That's where they're at right now. So despite strong critical and audience reception, the film's modest debut highlights what is going to be a broader issue and is a continuing issue with the MCU universe. They're bloated. They're too expensive. They need to cut back on the cost. So Thunderbolts is projected to earn $70 to $75 million domestically. It's falling again below Captain America, which opened at about $100 million. Captain America was deemed a financial loss despite generating $414 million. Supposedly, Thunderbolts has a $200 million production budget, excluding marketing and theater cuts. So it's unlikely to break even. It's going to need about $700 to $750 million globally. And that's massively challenging. The Eternals opened up at $71.2 million. it ended up with a $165 million domestic final. Okay, so now let's move on. So comicbookmovie.com said that only three other Marvel movies have debuted under $100 million. The Eternals, $71 million. Shang-Chi and The Legend of the Ten Rings, $75 million. And The Marvels, $46 million. So this does not bode well for them to make their money back. But it does hold an 88% critic score. That's pretty good. I mean, I may go see it on Disney. I can count on my hand since we were forced to purchase Disney because of Hulu 5 years ago, I don't remember. I can count on one hand how many times I've gone to Disney, but I'll probably go to check this out. Now, this would have created a surge in the past, but it's barely moving the needle now. And why? Well, that's because there's a perception of Marvel movies. And people are just done with them. They're like, I'm not going to pay that. Sorry, I'm not going to pay it. It also brings to mind, is the big box office tent movie done? I don't think so. I think what needs to be reined in is these costs that are way beyond what they should be. Again, they're comparing it to Captain America and Eternals and others. So what we're seeing is a struggle here in Marvel Comics universe of this current phase, even when there's a good movie, again, because of the perception. Then you have lesser known characters. I mean, I can tell you the names. Does it matter? Yelena Belova, Bucky Barnes from the Black Widow and Captain America. Bunch of no names. That does not help when you have that big of a budget. If the storyline's good, if the special effects are great, and the word of mouth gets going, that's one thing. But when you have a perception created by so many failed movies before it, it's kind of doomed before it even gets going. Supposedly, this is an ensemble of anti-heroes. And what I've seen from the previews, it looks funny. But it all boils down to these movies costing too much, a perception of previous Marvel Comics or Cinematic Universe movies being terrible, being woke, being feminazism, of the marketing, calling conservatives who grew up loving these movies as good versus evil, conservative values. You combine being crapped on. You combine all that. Doesn't matter if the reviews are good. They've already written off this phase of the Marvel Comics universe. Can the MCU regain its box office dominance? Well, Disney's going to have to address their brand issues to restore audience trust. In the short term, no. The long term, yes. All right, let's move on. Polygon's downfall, Valnet's takeover, and the reckoning for woke gaming journalism. So on May 1st, just this past week, Vox Media offloaded its gaming website, Polygon, to Valnet. It's a Canadian media giant, and they also own Game Rant, Screen Rant, and The Gamer. And the deal swiftly followed mass layoffs. Woohoo! Am I happy that they got laid off? No. Do I care? No. Does that mean I'm happy by default? Well, I'm not unhappy that they got laid off. I mean, I don't like to see people losing their jobs, but I'd rather see a bunch of woke, leftist, vile, bigoted people who wish death on me, which these people have, not me directly, but my values, then I have no issue with them getting laid off. And yeah, this is a great victory to move our country forward. And why? Because Polygon was nothing but progressive ideology, alienating the core gaming audience, creating Gamergate 2.0, where they're the bad guys. And nobody bought or went to their website. So this underscores a broader collapse of agenda-driven digital media in a market that rewards authenticity. They weren't authentic. This was launched by Vox Media 2012. It's been absorbed into Valnet, who has a sprawling portfolio. And it signals the end of an era. Not really. I mean, they came in 2012 after all the gaming magazines had already been laid out. The gaming sites had already been set up. They were like an end game player. So no, this is not an end of an era. And this was sold as an asset deal to bolster Valnet's gaming media dominance. They control 27 brands, Valnet does. Again, Game Rant, Screen Rant, The Gamer, Dual Shockers, Fetcher Life, and Open Critic. So they're cementing their grip on the gaming and entertainment content. But the problem is people aren't gravitating to those places like they do the YouTube influencers. And the CEO, Jim Bankoff of Vox, justified the sale, citing an uncertain economic outlook. They're dying. You can't hate on people. You can't lie, call everybody racist, transphobic, or whatever, when you're the one showing all those actions, demanding hate, demanding attacks on not only conservative values, but wink, wink, if they go down and get mud or get beat on, I'm okay with that, wink, wink, or I'm not okay with that, wink, wink. That's the type of people that were let go, that were part of that studio, in my opinion. Maybe I'm wrong. I didn't know them. But when I read their work, yeah, that's what I got out of it. Polygon, it was never a premium gaming publication, even though they touted themselves as that. It was just, they promoted woke agenda. So what's the plan? Valnet kept 10 Polygon staff members. So they kept the executive editor, Matt Patches. A former employee stated about 25 staff members were let go, many of whom were union members represented by the Writers Guild of America East. The problem here is it doesn't matter if you're represented by a union. They can't force a company to keep its employees, even though the courts are trying to do that with our taxpayer money when the government. Eventually, they're going to lose. But you can't, because they've got to be able to make a profit to stay in business. You can't force a corporation to go, yes, you got to keep these people on regardless if you're losing money. You can't do that. Details on full-time versus contractor roles remain vague, but Valnet will probably go the contractor route. This is a ruthless market correction. Polygon became a faltering outlet because of their own missteps, their own bigotry, their own hatred. This is good riddance. This is a good move to better us as a country. We don't care if you're transgender. We don't care if you're gay. But keep that out of games that kids play, because that's a conversation a parent should have with their child. Not you dictating what is right, what is wrong, Mr. Game developer, and then having outlets like Polygon promote and push that. So some of the notable casualties: Chris Plant, co-founder, former editor-in-chief, who announced on Blue Sky, good riddance, he's on Blue Sky, quote, "I'm no longer with Polygon. If you're hiring, please consider the many talented writers and editors now on the market," unquote. Don't, because the moment they get there, they're going to start demanding everything woke left. They're going to be playing the victim. They're going to create a legal and human resource nightmare. Do not hire these people. Then there's Nicole Carpenter, senior reporter, who posted on Blue Sky, quote, "I'll say more later, but I no longer have a job," unquote. Michael McWherter, senior writer, who confirmed his exit. Peter Volk, curation editor, was there for over 10 years at Vox Media. Now, why am I saying this? Look, I've been canceled. I'm making it on my own, or trying to. These people can do the same thing I did. That's why I don't feel any pity. Charlie Hall, editor, who admitted on Blue Sky, quote, "I feel nothing," unquote. Of course you don't. You're a leftist. You don't feel anything about anybody else. But yourself, you may be saying you feel nothing, but we know you're burning up inside, angry. Why? Why? Yeah, idiot. So the layoffs dismantled a team that prioritized ideology over audience. That's what it prioritized, ideology over audience. On social media platforms, fans and critics cheered Polygon's humbling, with many pointing to the woke editorial stance as the root of its alienation and downfall. The point is, they were warned over and over and over, don't go down this road. And they did. These layoffs serve as a stark reminder that no amount of moral grandstanding can shield a business from market forces. That the ousted staff now face the consequences on betting on a failing model. Me, I was canceled because I just have American values. So no, I don't feel bad for these people. I don't. I had a whole section here on ValveNet, but that's a different day for a different topic. We'll talk about that. I'm going to be reaching out to ValveNet, hopefully to get an interview about just their whole empire they're building over there. Not the gaming, but just their whole empire. It's fascinating what they're doing. But as far as the gaming media, the industry has not been rocked by closures. These were expected to happen. It was just a matter of time and when they would happen. The Washington Post, Launcher, and Vice's Waypoint have shut down. Game Informer's 2024 shutdown has been partially revived. Fandom's 2022 acquisition of Giant Bomb. All that. I mean, they're going through a market correction. Polygon's pivot to progressive ideology and pop culture fluff at the expense of core gaming coverage, it alienated its audience. It eroded what little prestige it had. They had a sanctimonious tone, and that's what fueled backlash. That's why people are celebrating the layoffs as just desserts for, quote, woke, unquote, overreach. Some did lament the loss of its earlier gamer-centric work. Me, I don't. I go to YouTube. If I really want to get a review, I'll go to YouTube. The gaming media's implosion with Polygon is a prime casualty. This proves that pushing divisive agendas over audience needs is a losing bet, people. I mean, Polygon's sale to ValveNet and the brutal layoffs that followed marked the end of a self-inflicted era where ideological crusades trumped serving the readers. And that's where we stand. Y'all tell me your thoughts on these main stories here. You know, I mean, we got Wanda Sykes. Tell me what you think. Am I wrong or right? The British MP with J.K. Rowling. Who I'm no fan of, but we align on this. Jussi Smollett. Do you think he got away with paying nothing? In terms of paying back the taxpayers, I do. Tell me what you think. Tell me about Prince Harry, your thoughts on him, as well as Jeremy Renner, Thunderbolt, and Polygon. Let's move on. The Rude Rundown. What's my time here? Let's go back to Disney. Disney's Andor Season 2 introduces lesbian storyline. Look. So the Disney Star Wars series, they've added a lesbian relationship in the second season. Obviously, that's prompting criticism, pushback, because they're pushing ideology over storytelling. Again, this is creating backlash because this Star Wars is about entertainment, not indoctrination, not about messaging. Disney's focus on progressive social agendas in Star Wars. This isn't the first one. It alienates the traditional fans and undermines the franchise's universal storytelling. It's pushing divisive identity politics over entertainment. You still haven't learned, Disney. To people, don't watch this. Don't support this. That's how you send the message. That's how we'll win this battle. Democrats perfected this tool. The gaming industry has started to perfect it. You've seen all kinds of Ubisoft and other studios. They're all being shut down because we're not buying their games. We need to send Disney the same message. Speaking of gaming, Kingdom Come, Deliverance to self-censorship. So Warhorse Studios director Daniel Vavra, I think he's a creator, he admitted to self-censoring Kingdom Come, Deliverance 2 to avoid backlash. I have Kingdom Come. I haven't played it yet. I'm not going to bother. I got it for free. But there's a lot of add-ons. And when I get a base game for free, such as with the Assassin's Creed series, I buy the add-ons. Not anymore, I don't. So, Vavra confirmed the team hired sensitivity consultants, Think Sweet Baby Inc., for various groups to guide content adjustments and ensure the woke narrative to avoid offending oversensitive players. He did this for money. He saw the writing on the wall, more money, more money, more money. Let me keep my masters. Master Progressive. I'm now a new member of the Democrat Plantation. That's what I boil it down to. I see this as self-censorship being a capitulation to the woke culture. It stifled his artistic freedom and it diluted historical accuracy to appease a vocal minority in a game that a lot of younger kids will play where parents should be having the conversations. Do not buy Kingdom Come Deliverance 2, people. Don't. Let's stay on gaming. GTA 6 has been delayed. No positives in this. Rockstar Games has postponed Grand Theft Auto 6's release from 2025 to 2026 due to development challenges. I lied. They say it's technical hurdles. They're trying to optimize the game's expansive open world for next-gen consoles. They need additional time. That could be partially true. It's rumored a $2 billion budget. Wow. The delay aims to ensure GTA 6 matches the success of GTA 5. And that generated $6 billion. I got to be honest, people. I think this delay could be to take woke aspects out of the game. It's like what Ubisoft tried to do with Assassin's Creed Shadows. I think that's what they're doing here, but that's just my opinion. You cannot keep sales from those type of big budget games from happening, but you can diminish the sales. I just don't believe in those type of games. I think they're bad influence. But hey, it's America. But parents have no clue. Xbox price hikes amid Switch 2 pre-sale surge. So what's happening here? Xbox announced a price increase for consoles and Game Pass, and it's coinciding with a strong pre-sale performance for Nintendo's Switch 2. So Xbox Series X and S prices will rise by $50 to $100, and Game Pass Ultimate will increase by $3 a month. They're saying production costs. And eventually they're going to say tariff costs too. But this boils down to them taking advantage of Nintendo Switch 2's pre-orders surpassing Xbox Series X and S launch sales in key regions. So this is more of a strategic move saying, hey, if they can do it and get away with it, we probably can, and we can make up a little bit of ground here of lost sales. Look, Xbox, they started out so strong with their first iteration, and it's plateaued since. And Game Pass, we're entering an era. There's so many great games. You can't play them all. And kids are aging out. Once they go to college, oh, got to study. Don't have time. You know, so they've got to keep feeding it and increasing the price because you're getting less and less kids now, especially with Americans not reproducing as much, as silly as that sounds. All this is tied in. So, they're going to deflect blame eventually, the price hikes on the tariffs. This isn't necessarily corporate greed. There's some corporate greed as much as taking advantage and a diminishing audience. On the flip side, Nintendo's success shows family-friendly gaming. The whole family can play Mario Kart with their kid. You're not going to play Dragon Age the Veilguard with your kid. And then once you see the transgender storyline, you're like, whoa, what am I watching here? Mario Kart is about racing. Not that Nintendo's not woke in its own way. DC Studios, Sergeant Rock Project stars. So DC Studios, they canceled Sergeant Rock, the movie. It was going to star Colin Farrell. Please. It originally had Daniel Craig, but he's more of a man. We need a Tom Selleck type actor. You know, a Christopher Pine, a grittier looking type actor. And they're out there. They're out there. Not Colin Farrell. I mean, that's a weak ass Sergeant Rock. So it's stalled and likely canceled. Insiders report conflicting visions between the powers at play there, between the, director and the DC studio executives over the film's tone and World War II setting and its halted progress. And Colin Farrell shifting to other focuses, acting gigs. But who else could have played him that was grittier and better to pick than him? Let's see. I had a list here that I have to grab. Let me grab it here. Okay, Tom Hardy. Pedro Pascal, now he's too old. Jensen Ackles. Joel Kinnaman. Jeffrey Dean Morgan, a little old. Josh Brolin, they're all a little old. John Bernthal. So there's names out there that got a much better job than Colin Farrell, in terms of the look and the grittiness of the character. All right. And God bless her. And may she rest in peace as she begins her new journey. And I am talking about none other than Ruth Buzzy, comedy legend, dies at 88. She was beloved for her roles on Rowan and Martin's Laugh-In show from the 60s, people. and she did some work on Sesame Street. She passed away last week at age 88, complications from Alzheimer's. It was diagnosed in 2012. Like, I'm sorry, I worked in that industry. To the family members, this was probably one of those you don't know how to react, because it's a blessing in many ways. So she spiritually, she's freed from a body that was dying. The picture you see here is Gladys Ormsby. She played her. I saw that character. It was great on Dean Martin's Roast. Oh, my gosh. She was a fundamentally biblical, prudish woman, as you can see with her outfit. You know, and that earned her 1973 Golden Globe nomination. And obviously she was known to younger audiences because of Sesame Street. So colleagues, including Artie Johnson, who played the German in World War II, German in Laugh-In, and Carol Burnett, they all praise your comedic timing and warmth. I don't even know if Artie Johnson's alive, but Carol Burnett is. Fans were mourning her. Fans probably my parents' age. But 6 decades. God bless Ruth Buzzy. And Godspeed on your new journey. All right, let's move on to P. Diddy. He rejects a plea deal ahead of his trial. So Sean Diddy Combs has rejected a plea offer, and he's preparing for a sex trafficking trial. Combs faced federal charges of sex trafficking and racketeering, with prosecutors alleging he coerced women into sexual acts through his bad boy entertainment empire over decades. I've covered this in previous Red, White, and Rudes. So by rejecting the plea deal, he's going to fight this out in court. He's going to offer nothing. He does not want to do any prison time, is what this boils down to. He claims the accusations are baseless. I think he's going to try to use, my opinion, threats, payoffs. He's going to try to use it all, try to woo the jury. He doesn't want to spend any prison time, so he's going to pull every arsenal he can. I think he deserves a fair trial, but he does have privilege. It's called rich man's privilege. The best lawyers, the best detectives, the best people to figure out who's going to be the judge, what type of jury they're going to have, meaning they can look at the person, make a good judgment. There's a whole process behind that and picking the jury. So I don't know how this is going to turn out, but we're going to find out here sooner than later now. Joe Pantoliano considers leaving the U.S. over Trump. Sopranos guy and Bad Boys actor Joe Pantoliano. He's an idiot, hardcore leftist, doesn't understand the issues, jumps on the bandwagon of hate, and he's a moron. You know, I spent a couple of weeks in Portugal, you know, it's a great country. Yeah. It was just a video of a woman who moved to Africa. And it's like wanting, dying to come back. It ain't what she thought. In the UK, England, all these places, they find out the freedoms and the ability they have to express themselves and live their own lives is so much better here. Yeah, but he says he's feeling scared and wants to run for the hills. Yeah, he says that from his Malibu or Palisades or Beverly Hills or Bel Air, wherever he's living, whatever elite rich neighborhood, guarded security he's living at. He's running scared. No, he's not. He owns property in Lisbon. He seriously considered relocating with his family, joining other celebrities like Madonna. See, these are rich people. They can afford it. But they'll keep their homes here. Yeah, and conservatives are rightfully mocking him. It's nothing but a Hollywood elitist disconnect from everyday Americans who support Trump's policies. All right. Have at it, Joe. Move on. Get the hell out of here, because I know you're going to be running back. CBS nears settlement with Trump over edited interviews. So CBS News is nearing a settlement with former President Donald Trump over allegations of deceptively editing the 60 Minutes interview, which resulted in election interference. And it did. They were interfering in the election, trying to portray Kamala Harris as a different person than what she really was. An idiot. So Paramount Global, CBS's parent company, is in mediation with Trump's legal team. Why? Because they are trying to sell the Skydance. And because Trump's in the power now, he set the people up at the FEC, I think. Is it FEC or FTC? One of the two. In terms of they're the ones who are holding the cards to the sale. Sad but true. I'm not necessarily in agreement with how Trump's doing it, but that was election interference, and they need to pay a price. So conservatives view the potential settlement as a victory against biased media. I do. Accusing CBS of manipulating narratives that undermine Trump. They did. However, this does or may set precedent for silencing free press through litigation. I disagree. This is blatant election interference. The Pentagon UFO whistleblower fears for life. So Matthew Brown, a former Pentagon insider, has revealed himself as a whistleblower exposing a secret UFO program and now fears for his life. He, I guess, was claimed that the Pentagon's All-Domain Anomaly Resolution Office has evidence of non-human craft, including recovered materials, which he alleges was hidden from Congress in classified briefings. You know, they're going to try to destroy him through the media, through letting info here out. They're going to destroy his credibility is what they're going to do. Good luck. And guys, something's happening. Something's up. I don't know what to believe, but I know when they're saying they don't know what UAPs are, there's video now of legit stuff they don't understand. Something seems to be going down the pike. Let's stay on the paranormal. Former CIA agent claims Ark of the Covenant location is known. Major Ed Dames, I've known this guy for many years because of remote viewing. He's a former CIA operative who alleges that classified U.S. intelligence files pinpoint the biblical Ark of the Covenant using remote viewing. That's a psychic technique from the 1980s. Experiments funded by the government began at Stanford. So Dames claims that the Ark is inside the Cave of the Patriarchs in Hebron, West Bank, a sacred site. But the information is classified due to Hebron's geopolitical sensitivities. I don't believe that for one second. If that's true, that Ark's gone or it's heavily guarded and shoot to kill type stuff. That's where politics and playing nice goes away. So there's online debates. He's come out with this before, but because of social media, it's kind of resurfaced. So religious conservatives, especially Christians and Jews, they're calling for the declassification, arguing that the Ark's discovery could confirm biblical history and challenge secular skepticism. I agree. And there you have it, my friends. From Wanda Sykes at a touch rant to Polygon's well-deserved downfall, I help expose the left's crumbling grip on reality. Common sense is clawing back, and whether it's Rowling's truth bombs or Renner's stand being exposed for what it is, mediocre ratings from an elitist who's as woke can be, demanding a higher paycheck than he deserves, the tide is turning. Before I go, don't forget, you can check out this podcast and others at grumblingsmedia.com, grumblingsmedia.com. You can also catch us on YouTube, Rumble, Apple, Spotify, e Pandora under the handle Grumblings Media. And finally, do not forget to like and share this show. Our growth in the show is doing pretty good. It's one of our top shows. I appreciate it, and I thank you for watching. Do not forget to like and share it because that's how I'll grow. And engage. Tell me what you like, what you didn't like about the show. So, my friends, stay rude, stay free, and we'll see you next time.